The Shabbos HaGadol Shir this year is focusing upon Eliyahu HaNavi in terms of the perspective that our faith has of him, both in Halacha and in Machshava. We have about 22 sources to go through, and you have them in front of you. First, let's take a look at Eliyahu HaNavi in terms of what role he plays just on a daily basis. We know the most obvious source, Birkas HaMazon, HaRachaman, Isha Achlanu, Eliyahu HaNavi, Zacholatov, Vivasolana, Bisarotov, Yishrod Nachamot. Already we are told right off from something to do on a regular basis that Eliyahu HaNavi will be sent by the Ribono Shel Olam in order to bring us good tidings regarding the salvation of the Mashiach. In the Haftarah, we read on a weekly basis in the brachas that come after the Haftarah, Samcheinu Hashem Elokeinu be'Eliyahu HaNavi Avdecha, Uvamachut Beit David Mashiachecha. We speak again about Eliyahu HaNavi coming before the Malchus Beis David that will be reinstated, again reference to the Messianic arrival. In source 3, in Zmiros on Motzei Shabbos, we know Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, Eliyahu HaGiladi, B'meira Yavo Eleinu Imashiach Ben David. Again, indication of Eliyahu HaNavi coming as the harbinger to the Mashiach. And then we have in life cycle events as well. At a bris, as we all know famously, that we set aside a Kiseh Sheliyahu. This is based upon different midrashim, one being the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Parakaftet, where there we are told that Eliyahu HaNavi was a Kanai, and due to his great Kina, so he did not have faith that Klal Yisrael would necessarily keep the bris, and the Ribono Shel Olam has an argument with him, calling him someone who's always Kanai in every situation. You are Kanai the Shi team, the Ribono Shel Olam says, regarding Gilui Arayos and the place of Pinchas there, Pinchas ben Elazar. The Kana Tamikane, he says to him as well, here you're also a Kanai. Hayecha Shien Yisrael Osin Brit Mila Acha Taroe Beinecha. So I swear to you, God says that you will see every bris. You will be there with your own eyes to see how Klal Yisrael will keep the bris. Mikan Kinu Hachamim Shiyu Osin Moshav Kavo de Malach HaBrit. Therefore, Eliyahu HaNavi, called the Angel of the Brit, is given a special place as a punishment, if you will, to be at every bris and to see it take place. There are other sources as well regarding this. Anyone who wants to look can look at Otsar HaBrit under Otsar Minagei Mila, Simen Reish Mem, or I should say Daf Reish Mem, where there he has a very beautiful discussion as well of Midrashim speaking about what is going on with Eliyahu HaNavi, the Ribono Shel Olam, in that situation. Also, it's fascinating there that it's brought down a question that says that individuals ask who do not believe in the Ribono Shel Olam and his abilities to rule the world. B'yom Echad, Kama Milot Yesh Ba'olam, V'ech Yagi Eliyahu L'Kulam B'yom Echad. Shaila is asked by some, how could it be that Eliyahu HaNavi can go to every bris in one day? After all, there are many, many brises throughout the world. How could he go to every bris? And so the answer that's brought here is, like in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed, where Amar Hai Mina L'Rebbe Gamliel, a heretic Asher Gamliel, Amrita akol be'asra shchinta sharya, kama shchinta itlachom. Yes, the Shaila of Rabbi Gamliel, how could it be you say that the Shechina, God's presence, comes to any place where there are 10 individuals who are engaged in davening to Hashem? But how could that be? There are thousands of such individual groups throughout the world. How could it be that the Shechina could attend to every one of them? He says, because the light of the sun, the light of the sun will prove it. Just like it goes to the entire world, so too, its rays are capable of going to every individual, not just to one individual. And if that's the case, Rabbi Gamliel says, by the sun, that it can light up the whole world, then Shechina Atzma L'Kol Shekein, She Shaletet B'Chol Olam Kulav, and the Shechina certainly can be felt wherever such a gathering takes place. V'chein hu hashkachat Eliyahu l'chol milot shebolam. And so too, the ability of Eliyahu HaNavi to go to and supervise every bris and to be there and to behold it comes under the same notion. Hinei malach ha'mavet yochiach. He says, just like the malach ha'mavet, Shekama Meitim Ba'olam, Berega Chad Magia Misof Olam Yad Sofo, just like the angel of death is not bound by only being able to take one person at a time, but can go and take multiple people at multiple amount of times. So too it says, we know Eliyahu HaNavi is called, as we saw, Malach HaBrit, the angel of the covenant. He's also a Malach, he's also an angel. And just like the Malach HaMavet can take everyone at once, he doesn't have to just take one individual. So too Eliyahu HaNavi can go to many Brisim at one particular time without that being a problem. It's interesting that in the Minhag Yisrael Torah, that particular Sefer, he brings down that the Chatam Sofer and others asked the Shaila concerning the status of Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi, of course, we know, went to heaven in a flaming chariot, and consequently, he never died, he still walks the earth, but what is his status? Is he considered to be a human being, or is he considered to be like a Malach? We called him just now the Malach HaBrit. So what is his status? So the Chatam Sofer brings down the Katav Chatam Sofer Eliyahu Eino Mechuya B'Mitzvus Ela Kish Migale V'Lamazeh Malbush B'Gufo Az Yeshodin Kechol Bnei Yisrael. So he says that Eliyahu HaNavi, generally speaking, is not Mechayev B'Mitzvus. However, when he reveals himself as a human being and he's in human form, so then he has a Chiyuv B'Mitzvus like all of Klal Yisrael. But he says that if he comes in a malbush ruchani, if he comes in a spiritual form, whatever that is, and he's not in a bodily form, then he's not mechuyav b'mitzvos. And on a day when there's circumcisions taking place, he says Eliyahu HaNavi comes in a spiritual form and does not have the status of someone who has an obligation to keep mitzvos. In the Encyclopedia Talmudit under Eliyahu, so you'll see there very fascinatingly, the question is asked. Regarding Eliyahu, is he considered dead? Does he have a status of being dead vis-a-vis those of us who are here? Is he Metame like a mace? And other questions. The questions specifically asked here, we see Elisha tore his garment when Eliyahu left him. Apparently then, since he was not going to see him anymore, Eliyahu had a status of being a mace. He was like a dead person. And also it's brought down, V'chein hu adin shel Eliyahu b'inyan ishto. Also in regards to his wife, is Eliyahu considered still to be living so that his wife cannot remarry anymore because he's still alive even though he's no longer there? So the halacha is that you cannot engage in a forbidden act that says, with Eshet Re'ehu, with a woman of your fellow man, below Eshet Malach, but not with a woman who belongs to an angel. So consequently, the prohibition is only in a normal situation, but in terms of this particular situation, I think he's saying that she would not have the status of being really married, and there would not be a prohibition. The Mishnah Brura brings down Siman Kuflam Aleph, Sivkat and Kavbet, that the minhag is, as we know, that we do not say Tachnun on a day when Eliyahu HaNavi will be coming to the bris on a day when a bris is taking place. Even if the Baalei Simcha are not there, he points out, still, if you are praying in the place where the bris will be, because Eliyahu will be coming, so that is sufficient reason in and of itself to not have to say Tachanun. Moving over to Leil HaSeder, which concerns us the most in terms of this theme of Chag HaPesach and Shabbos HaGadol. In the Seder HaAruch, Parakuf Lemchet, it's brought down, L'fi Shemitzvah Zo Ma'akevat HaPesach, Kamo Shenemar V'chol Arei Lo Yochal Bo, L'chein Mozgin Kol Seliyahu. Why is it that we pour a cup for Eliyahu HaNavi? Why? What's this notion of Eliyahu HaNavi being mentioned at the Seder? So interestingly, he says, it's because we know that in order to eat the Korban Pesach, so a person must be circumcised. And because this is the case, and we've already established the idea of the relationship between Eliyahu HaNavi, seeing to it that the Klal Yisrael are going to be the kind in the mitzvah of Milah, and properly perform circumcision, so that's why, interestingly, Eliyahu's name is mentioned on Pesach night. And that's why it says you pour a kosher Eliyahu, According to this view, there are those who say there that the Kosher Aliyahu should be poured not at the end of the Seder as we do it, but early on in the Seder, or certainly before the eating of the Afikoman, because if that's a Zecher LeKorban Pesach, and our meal is supposed to be a Zecher LeKorban Pesach, so then if the idea of mentioning Aliyah was to make sure everyone there has had a proper bris, so then the Kosher Aliyah would have to be poured before the Afikoman is eaten, which again represents the Korban Pesach according to some Shitas. In source number 8, again, Mitzvah Torah, this time Daf Shin Tet Zayin. So it's brought down that because we say Kol Dichrin Yete Yechol, because we said that anyone who would like to eat is welcome to do so, we welcome that person to come and eat at our Seder, and we're hoping that a guest will come, so therefore it says that we pour a cup of wine as a result, that's how we pour a Kosher Aliyahu. And it's called the Kosher Aliyahu because we are hoping, if we have a guest already, so we know Eliyahu Navi is mentioned in the Gemara many times as being a person who wanders the earth, who visits people. If we're going to have a guest already, we hope it will be Eliyahu Navi. So therefore we call the cup a Kos Shel Eliyahu. He brings this down in the name of Minagei Vermaisa. Very fascinating explanation comes from the Chodesh Yair. Also, he says in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch and the Sivei Yavetz, they bring also the notion of a Kosher Aliyahu being poured at the beginning of the Seder, as we indicated, would be necessary both according to the view that said it was to check to make sure a bris was done before the Korban Pesach was eaten, and also according to this view, if you're inviting guests to come, so the guests of course should be invited at the beginning of the meal, and that's why the Kosher Aliyahu would be poured at that time, and again these views have those particular minhagim. And then also in the same source, it's brought down that there's a minhag that some Ashkenazim have to put an empty cup on the table and to then empty all of the cups that of their leftover wine into this particular cup, and they call this cup the Kosher Aliyahu. However, it's brought down that there are those who disagree with this, that this is considered inappropriate and certainly not kavod for the Navi, and it's a zilzul, but there is such a view brought down in any event. In source number 10, the Mishabrura, Simen Taf Pei, Siv Katan Yud, says that the minhag is in our countries, in our lands, to pour one cup for Eliyahu HaNavi, and we call it the cup of Eliyahu. The Rame Sha'anu Maminim Shikashem Shigaleinu Ashgalano Ashanit Barach Mitzrayim Hui Galeinu Od V'Yishlach Lanu Eliyahu HaNavi L'Bar Sereinu. So he said that just like we know that Ribbono Shel Olam redeemed us at the time of Pesach, so too we pour a Kosher Eliyahu to indicate that we believe as well that through Eliyahu HaNavi will come the ultimate redemption with the Mashiach being brought in by him. Now, in source number 11, the Aruch HaShulchan, also there, Simen Taf Pei, he says we call it the Kosher Aliyahu also, and he says the minhag is to stand up from our leaning at the table on Pesach and to say Baruch Haba, to actually say Baruch Haba. Now this is an indication, it seems to me, that we actually believe Eliyahu Navi is coming. Baruch Haba, we're welcoming him to the Seder. Some of the other views said that the idea was there was a certain idea that was brought about by the mentioning of the name of Eliyahu, not that he necessarily comes to the Seder. But here the Aruch HaShulchan says, by saying Baruch Haba, people have that custom that we're actually welcoming Eliyahu Navi to our Seder. In fact, with that idea, it's very fascinating that I saw in a particular source, I can't recall now, but I saw it brought down that the Chiddushei Arim spoke about the great piety of the Nor of Yehuda, that the Nor of Yehuda apparently accompanied Eliyahu HaNavi, who would walk him down from the steps in front of his house. And he would actually escort him. So again, the idea of Eliyahu HaNavi really coming to one's home. Apparently when they asked the Nor of Yehuda about this, he said, I did not accompany Eliyahu HaNavi because I actually saw him. He said, I did not see him, but I have full faith that he comes on this night to every Jewish home. even to my home. And the Chiddush HaArim apparently concluded that such pristine faith is even more meaningful than if Eliyahu actually had come and actually revealed himself to the person. The fact that the Navi Yehuda had such faith that Eliyahu HaNavi was in fact at his Seder. In source 12, again, Seder HaAruch, Daf Kuf Nun Tet, looking at other minhagim concerning the Kosher Eliyahu, so there are those who say, the Vilna Gaon said this, that the Kosher Eliyahu is called such because of a Tana upon whom it is called, who holds that you have to have a fifth cup of wine, not four cups, but five cups. And that Tana was a Reb Eliyahu. And therefore it's called the Koshel Eliyahu. What a brilliant explanation by the Gra. It's called the Koshel Eliyahu because Eliyahu is the one who had this Chiddush that you need a fifth cup going with the Veheveti. We know the four Lashonos of Geula, but there's a fifth Lashon as well. And as a result, that's why he says it's called the Koshel Eliyahu. It's interesting, though, I should point out, first of all, it's such a brilliant answer. It's brought down that there are those who say the Belzer Rebbe, when he heard this, he said that the reason that this explanation was revealed to the Gra is because since his name is actually Eliyahu, that's why he had a special connection to be able to come up with this incredible thought that this would be the explanation. It's brought down, there's a question in the footnotes there in the Haseder Aruch where I quoted that some in the Haggadah with the explanations of the Gra of some of his Talmidim, so there it does not mention the Minog of the Koshel Eliyahu at all, whatsoever. And yet in other Haggadahs of other Talmidim with the Perush of the Gra, so there the Minog is brought down. There's somewhat of a debate about if the Gra held by the whole notion of the Koshel Eliyahu or not. Now it's fascinating that while the Gra mentioned that the Tana was named Eliyahu, who had this thought of needing a fifth kos, so in our sources we do not have that. In the Haggadah Shlema, of Kasher's beautiful Haggadah with all the different manuscripts, so there in the Mavo, Daf Tzadi Dalid. So we have in Daf Kuf Yuchet, he says, Tana Rabbanan, we have it taught in the Braita, Chamishi Gomer Alav Et HaHalel V'Omer Halal Agadol, Diber Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon seems to be the one who is quoting here this idea of having a Kos Shel Eliyahu. I mean, unless the Gra meant it's quoted as Tana Rabbanan, and then Rav Tarfon comes. Maybe originally the Gra somehow there was a Rav Eliyahu who said it, but here it seems to be Rav Tarfon is the one who says it. The Rambam, in fact, goes by the Shita. The Rambam says Yeshlim Zov Kos Chamishi. This is in Hilchas Chamis Matzah Chet Yud. He says that you should have a fifth cup and say Halal Agadol. So there is such a notion. The Rambam says, this is not of the same obligation as the Arba Kosos. There was a doubt about it, but the Rambam says it should be done. And in fact, that girsa of having a fifth cup and saying Halal Agadol on it, it's brought down by Rav Kasha, that not only the Rambam, but in fact, many major Rishonim, the Baal Halacha Gedolos, the Rav Amram Gaon, Rav Sadia Gaon, many others as well. Rabbeinu Hananel, the Rif, the Rosh, many had the Shita that there should be a fifth cup. But the Rashi's, the view of Rashi, the Rashbam, and Tosafot, at least that is to say the Ashkenazic authorities, read that there are only four cups in their Girsa. And that's how the Halacha was brought down, both in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. And then, in fact, one should not drink another cup after the mandatory four cups. There are those who say also, by the way, in terms of the Koshel Eliyahu, we said that some say the Gra didn't have such a minog. It's brought down as well in the Daf Kush, Daf Shin Kav Gimel, in the Haggadah HaAruch, Seder HaAruch, in the Haggadah section, that there are those in Sephardic communities that do not have a custom to make a Koshel Eliyahu, and there are those in the Ashkenazic community as well who do not have that custom. So even though we would be shocked, perhaps, to see such a situation, if we would be at someone's home, one should not go wild over it, because it seems to be there are some sources that indicate there was such a minhag not to have at all the koshel of Yahu. In source 15, again, the Seder Aruch, Perakuf Bet, brings down a different minhagim about what to do once you have a koshel Yahu concerning the drinking of that wine. And of the shitas he brings the following. There are those who hold that you should actually drink the koshel Eliyahu at the meal. In other words, we said that there are those who hold that this is a fifth cup and you should actually drink it. There are those who hold, there's another shita that holds, he brings down, that the koshel Eliyahu should be there. And afterwards, so... we pour from it, the koshel Yahu, which is poured earlier, is then poured out in order to make the fourth cup for those who were there, according to the shitas that you pour the cup early on, as we mentioned before. Very fascinating. And then he brings other views that hold that you actually save the wine that was used for the koshel Yahu, and you say Kiddush Hayom the next day upon this cup, because since a mitzvah was done with the wine, therefore it should be used for another mitzvah, as we have such a notion. And thereby there are those who do this, that they save the wine until the next morning, and then they utilize it then. The Haggadah of the Maharal stands that before the Mashiach comes, so Eliyahu HaNavi will come in order to be mevaseh this. Now, why is this so important? We've already known this from step one, haven't we, from the very beginning of this year, that Eliyahu is going to come before the Mashiach comes. But he points out something. He says, Al-Kain, Zeha'ot, Shehu, Hu, Hagoel Tzedek. He says, this is the proof, the evidence, that we should know once and for all with all the false messianic figures who have arisen throughout Jewish history. Here is the proof that a person is the Mashiach, down to our own time. Here is the proof. Eliyahu HaNavi, indicating this person is the Mashiach. This is the proof. He goes on to say, Arei ze yisod emet v'ikar gadol lamunat biyat ha-Mashiach, sha'anu mitzapim alav l'man lo nipol v'reshet eiz ha-Mashiach sheker. He says, clearly we don't want to fall, and so we don't fall into the net of those who have always believed falsely in a Mashiach who is not the true Mashiach, Mashiach Sheker. The Fichach, Noagin Kan Miftoach Hadelet, Lichvodo Sheliyahu HaNavi. Therefore we open up the door at this point in order to honor Eliyahu HaNavi. V'gamlim Zog Lichvodo Kos, Miyuchad, Kos Yeshua Shalagaula HaTida. We open the door, we welcome him, we pour a kosh Yeshua Tassah, we pour a cup of salvation, representing and recognizing thereby the possibility of redemption coming. Hakol kidei lefarsein, bifnei b'nei beito. This is a special act done in order to publicize in the witness of our family. The hodi'am shaka'ula shlema teluya b'viat Eliyahu HaNavi. Mikodem levaser hagula, the higalut Eliyahu HaNavi tiyaot al biat hagoel tzedek. An incredible thing that in order to ensure that we do not have a false Mashiach, so Eliyahu HaNavi is the sign. If he comes and he says this person's the Mashiach, he's the Mashiach. If he does not come, and even if every individual, we look at a person, we think he has all the requirements, then he is not the Mashiach. Eliyahu HaNavi is an absolute requirement in the coming of the Mashiach, according to the understanding of the Maharal in his Haggadah. An amazing thought that he gives us from his Haggadah. When is exactly Mashiach going to come? Of course, we don't know. Malachi, which we've referred to, Malachi Gimel Kav Dalet, which is also Shabbos Haggadah of Russia, says, Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lachem Et Eliyahu Naviza, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem, Haggadah Vanora. We know that the Eliyahu will come before the great, awesome day of Hashem, but we don't know exactly when that day is. Of course, the Gemara in Eruvim says, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bet, that we do know what days it will not be. It will not be, as it says in the Gemara there, Kavar Muftach Lehem Yisrael, Shein Eliyahu Ba, Lo Ba'arbe Shabbatot, Velo Ba'arbe Yamim Tovim, Mipnei HaTorach. We're told that Eliyahu Nabi will not come, the Gemara says in Eruvim. He will not come on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif. Why not? It's almost comical. Mipnei HaTorach. Because what do you mean Jews are busy then? Can you imagine the Mashiach comes and a woman says, my kugel's in the oven. Well, out of my kitchen. It's amazing. You'd think most would say, okay, so we're busy. Come on, Mashiach, we've been waiting for thousands of years. It's okay, we'll go. The kugel will wait, the challah will wait. No. Eliyahu Navi would not put us in such a situation that we have to just be mazaz as Shabbos like that and Kavod Shabbos. He will not come on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif. But aside from that, we don't know exactly when he will come. The Rambam, in discussing the coming of Eliyahu, says in Malachim Yud Bet Bet that at the time of Gog Umagog, he says, "Shkoda milchemas Gog Umagog yamod navi liyasher Yisrael ulahafin libam." Before the war of Gog Umagog, so a prophet will arise in order to help Klal Yisrael become true to and prepare them for the ultimate redemption. Shenemar hinano kishalech lachem et Eliyahu. As it says, we quote it from Malachi, the Rambam says, Eliyahu will be sent. V'yeno ba'lo l'tame atahor v'lo l'tare atame. Well, if Saul Hashim Shehem Bechazkat Kasher, as we know, he doesn't come in order to establish any halachic parameters at all or any status issues to solve them. El Asum Shalom Balam, but he does come to do one other thing. He comes in order to bring peace to the world, as it says there in Malachi, Shenemar V'Heshiv Lev Avot Albanim. V'Yesh Mina Chachamim, the Rambam says there are those Chachamim, Sha'omrim Shekodem B'Yana Mashiach Yavo Eliyahu. Those who say that right before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu will arrive. I guess as opposed to right, he says, before Gog Umagog, whenever that point is, he says, no, it'll come right before Mashiach arrives, as was, of course, the statement by the Maharal. The Rambam says, however, that these things are all hidden and no one knows really what's going to be with them until they actually happen. And then, there also in Yud Aleph Gimel, in the Rambam Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam puts forth, of course, we know it's famous that the Mashiach does not have to do any famous miracles, any great wonders in order to be the Mashiach. And he brings as a proof, as we know, Sha'arei Rabbi Akiva. Chacham Gadol Mechachmei Mishnah Hayah. Rabbi Akiva, of course, was one of the greatest of the sages of the Mishnah. V'haya Nosei Kelav Shel Bar Koziva HaMelech. And he carried the weaponry of Bar Koziva, the leader of Klal Yisrael at the time, Bar Kochva. V'hu Haya Omer Alav Shu Melech HaMashiach. And Rabbi Akiva believed him to be the Melech HaMashiach. And he says, not only him, but Dima Hu V'Chol Chachmei Doro. The Rambam says, not just Rabbi Akiva, but all of the wise of his generation thought, Shehu Melech HaMashiach, that this individual was the Melech HaMashiach. V'lo Shalumi Melech Chachamim Lo Ot V'lo Mofet. And they did not ask, the Chachamim did not ask of him to do any wonders or miracles. Now, it's fascinating. The Mahdi was Mani, Rav Shtorbach. This is Chelek Hay, Simon Shin Nun Bet, asks a very interesting shaila concerning this Rambam. The Kasha, he says, Shemizeh Gufa Halam Muchach Shein Eliyahu Navi Ba Lifnei Mashiach Dafka. We had said in the Maharal, and the Rambam said that it's the view of some Chachamim, but the Maharal said so clearly that Eliyahu Navi is the absolute sign by his indicating who the Mashiach is, exactly who the Mashiach is. But, says Rav Shurnbach, this is difficult. Eliyahu did not come and say Bar Kokhba was the Mashiach. When the Komakom Haminu Bo Chachma Yisrael, Sheberosham Rabbi Akiva. And yet, everyone still believed that he was the Melech HaMashiach. Imkein Muchach Shein Eliyahu Balik Ne Mashiach Davka. And therefore, you see that it's clear against the Maharal, he doesn't quote the Maharal, but it's against the Maharal, that the Eliyahu Nabi does not have to come Davka before the arrival of Mashiach. It's not required. And it seems that it needs some type of deep explanation to understand this. Rav Shturnbach gives his own beautiful explanation. He says, basically, that we know that the Mashiach and the redemption can come in two ways. We know the Rambam paskins that Klal Yisrael will have to do tshuva in order for the Mashiach to come. The Rambam paskins that went that way. Soloveitchik has a whole piece on this. But there are those who say that they won't have to do tshuva, the Mashiach will come anyway, and he will come, if Rav Shurnbach says, based on Gemara's, that if Klal Yisrael will do tshuva, so then they will be zocher that the Mashiach will come immediately. The Gula Shem will come immediately. If that's the case, he says, so then you don't need Eliyahu HaNavi to come as an intermediary to point out who the Mashiach is. It will come in a moment, the redemption. However, if they do not do tshuva, and therefore it's a longer period of time before the actual coming of Mashiach is, and then in that case Eliyahu HaNavi will come, and he will point out who the Mashiach is. So he suggests in the time of Rabbi Akiva, and the Chachmei HaGemara, in Chazal's time there, so that generation was fitting to have the Mashiach come and do to their level of righteousness, and they're doing tshuva, they were fitting to have the Mashiach come immediately. If they were fitting to have the Mashiach come immediately, so in that situation, you don't need Eliyahu HaNavi to come. And in this way, he defends both the idea that Eliyahu HaNavi, according to some, has to come before the Mashiach, and yet he doesn't have to come in a case where they do tshuva, and immediately they are zocha to the redemption. I was just wondering on my own, just from an area where I usually do not enter, but it so happens I happen to know that in the realm of Kabbalah with Sefer al-Gilgulim of the Arizal, in his Hagdama and Lamed Vav, so it's very fascinating. The Arizal points out that in terms of Gilgul Neshamos, that there were several migrations of the soul going from Nadav Avihu to Pinchas to Eliyahu HaNavi. And then, eventually, he says, there were several more Gilgulim, and finally, this Gilgul of Eliyahu HaNavi ended up, as well, in the soul, the body of Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef. Even though there are other sources in the Sefer Gilgulim where he says that Moshe Rabbeinu, eventually, who lived 120 years, became a Gilgul within Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, and also within Rabbi Akiva, who also, they lived 120 years, and just like Moshe, Moshe first 40 didn't know anything, then he learned for 40 years, then he taught for 40 years, and same with these other great Chachamim, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But as well, we see apparently there's this notion that Eliyahu HaNavi was in Rabbi Akiva. I said, that's the case. So I can answer from a different perspective the kasha that Rav Shurnbach is asking. In Rabbi Akiva's time, they did not have Eliyahu HaNavi there. He did not indicate that Bar Kokhba was the Mashiach. The Teretz is that according to the Balei HaKabbalah, so in fact, Rabbi Akiva himself was Eliyahu HaNavi, had the status of an Eliyahu HaNavi, and thereby he could point out who the Mashiach was, saying he was Bar Kokhba. You'll say to me, but then Eliyahu HaNavi was wrong because you see that Bar Kokhba was not the Mashiach. I would just have to answer, although it may be difficult on the Maharal, who says Eliyahu is the absolute evidence that this person is the Mashiach, but I would answer this with the following famous story. Some of you may know that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was once on a train. As the story goes, there was a missionary on the train speaking to some Jews, trying to convince them that Yeshu Hanotzri was the Mashiach. And in so doing, so the question came up. He said to them, he put the question to the Jews, trying to defend the Jewish perspective, that how could you ever know, and your people, who the actual Mashiach will be? Because after all, the greatest one of your scholars, Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, Rabbi Akiva, he was wrong. He thought that Bar Kokhba was the Mashiach. And he was wrong. So you see that you, even your greatest scholars, are not going to know who the Mashiach was. And apparently the Jews did not know how to respond to this attack on Jewish faith. So Baruch Hashem, Rav Chaim was there, and he overheard the conversation, and he responded to the missionary that it's not true that Rabbi Akiva was wrong. The Rambam says that if an individual will arise who will keep the Torah of Hashem and teach mitzvahs to others and will fight the wars of the Lord, and such an individual will basically be a model of a Talmud Chacham and a Ben Torah, so that individual is Bechezkas Mashiach. He's Bechezkas Mashiach. You can presume he's the Mashiach, and someone who presumes that that person is the Mashiach is not making a mistake. If it turns out he's not the Mashiach, he's not the Mashiach. But a person has a right to presume that that individual is Bechezkas Mashiach, and consequently that's what Rabbi Akiva did. He did not make a mistake. And maybe also Eliyahu Navi, even Eliyahu, will point out who could be Bechezkas Mashiach. Even then, not necessarily who the actual Mashiach is. Perhaps that's one other way to deal with the Kasha of Rav Sternbach from a Kabbalistic perspective. Finally, in terms of Kabbalah as well, it's interesting just to understand the complex nature that Eliyahu HaNavi holds in terms of his character. You think of Pinchas, who Eliyahu. Pinchas and Eliyahu are both Tanayim. We think very extremist in terms of their approach to life. But in fact, the Sefer HaGilgulim says that Moshe Rabbeinu also has is going to be the Gilgul of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Eliyahu Navi is going to be the Gilgul of Aaron HaKohen. And just like Moshe was the Redeemer at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Aaron was his spokesperson, so too, so the Gilgul of Moshe Rabbeinu will be the Mashiach, and with him will be Eliyahu Navi, who will be his Aaron HaKohen. And it's interesting, if that's the case, Aaron HaKohen and Eliyahu Navi having the same soul. You know, Eliyahu then cannot be such a Kanai in terms of our understanding of him. Such a Pinchas that we think he's just out there to kill those who are in violation of the Torah in the case of Kanai and Kogimbo that Pinchas engaged in. Because, as the Rambam says, Eliyahu's job is to bring peace to the world. And in fact, we know that was Aaron's position as well. Aaron was an Oev Shalom and a Rodev Shalom. And so this idea of Eliyahu being this Kanai, really seeing him in that perspective, despite the fact that he has to go to the Brisim, and we have some take upon him as being in that type of persona. But it's not the total view of Eliyahu, not at all. Eliyahu is the peacemaker as well. Eliyahu is the one who ultimately set the world in its proper atmosphere for the coming of Mashiach. And finally, let me just conclude with a thought I saw from Rabbi Riskin in his beautiful Haggadah. Rabbi Riskin says that we open the door when we mention Eliyahu HaNavi. Why do we open the door? Why do we invite him, as it were? Why? So he says beautifully that there's a fundamental difference between the initial redemption in Yetzias Mitzrayim and the ultimate redemption. The initial redemption, he says, in Mitzrayim was brought by mainly God alone. He brought the 10 plagues. He parted the Red Sea. He fought Pharaoh's armies. We didn't have the Torah yet. We were slaves. We had certain mitzvahs. But basically, until we came to Har Sinai, I said, Nasa Menishma, we then, only then, took responsibility for the ultimate redemption upon ourselves. But until that time, it was mainly the Ribono Shel Olam acting fully. But now, says Rabbi Riskin, we must be the ones who engage in bringing the Mashiach, in the ultimate redemption. And so, with Eliyahu, it's not enough that we just sit there at the table and mention Eliyahu. We have to symbolically make a statement, take action, at least go to the door, open the door for him, welcome him in, do some type of maisa in order to show that we want Mashiach to come. We have to do something. We can't just sit there. We have to do something. With this thought in mind, so we can understand how it relates so well to a famous Medrash in Gemara, which says that there was once one of the Chachamim walking, and as he was walking on his way, he ran into Eliyahu HaNavi. And he asked Eliyahu, you know, if you could ask any question to Eliyahu HaNavi, what would you ask him? Maybe why there was a Holocaust, or any other number of questions. But this sage asked Eliyahu HaNavi, when is Mashiach coming? And he said, he's coming today. He said, he's coming today. So this individual was so excited, he ran back to his city, he told everyone that he ran to Eliyahu, and he prepared everyone for the Mashiach to come, and everyone got in their best clothing, and they're all ready for Mashiach to come and to bring with him the redemption. But the Mashiach did not come. Then, sometime later, again, this individual ran into Eliyahu HaNavi, and he said, you're a liar. You didn't tell the truth. He said the Mashiach was going to come today, and he didn't come. And Eliyahu responded, I'm not a liar. I said he would come today. As we say in Tehillim, it says, Hayom, Yim B'Kolo Tishma'u. He would come today. He can come today if you will just listen to his voice. If you will just take action and follow the mitzvahs of Hashem Yisbarach, so that in fact Eliyahu HaNavi will come, and with him Mashiach Tzidkenu. May indeed this be the case this Pesach. May we hope that our understanding of the role of Eliyahu throughout Jewish life, in the realm of mitzvahs, in the realm of machshava, our appreciation of the role that he plays, that in this zechus that we have studied about him this year, that this will be the year when he brings with him Mashiach Tzidkenu. Amen v'amen. Thank you.